RockOds listeners, I am so excited for today's episode. It's a little bit different. So if you watch the episodes, hop over to YouTube. You're going to want to see this one. I've got my girl, Lindsay Nadler, here with us today. She is a CEO of her life, of the Hat Club. She's got a podcast talking about making your passion pay you. So yeah. Also prior first responder. So I know that's you and how you and I connected with Empowering Women Connect. And Lindsay, I'm so happy to have you here.
Yeah, Mackenzie, I'm honored to be here. I'm so excited for our conversation. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I actually remember you were one of the very first people I had connected with. And I was just like, you know, I think I want to start a podcast. And you're like, girl, go for it. Like, figure it out. I'll see you in a couple years. Like, we're gonna see this transition. And here we are, have you on the podcast, wearing your hat.
Yeah.
Got support.
So absolutely. Isn't it so cool, like how things just go full circle and you just never know who you're going to meet at an event. You never know when somebody's going to come into your life and there's going to be a connection, or you just get a little, you know, nudge from the universe, as I say, that's like, go on ahead, girl. Like, let's go. Let's do it. So
yeah. I love that. Yeah, absolutely. And I know for the listeners, actually one of my top episodes with Jared Webb, I want to have you share that experience, just because there has been so many connection factors after that. And I think it's just what we are, is raw. So tell us that story.
Oh my God. Okay. That is the wildest story ever. And I still haven't even really gotten the full like story on your side of it, but I'll like just kind of catch the listeners up. So long story short, literally almost at the same time a year ago, so this time last year, right when we're moving into summer, my life kind of went through an unraveling. My husband went through a really dark time, and we had some family issues, and all of these circumstances caused us to move away from our dream in Idaho back down to where we're from in Louisiana. So at this time, my husband's back down in Louisiana. I'm in Idaho, and I am kind of just unraveling. And one of the things that I love to do is kayak. And so we go out to Lucky Peak Reservoir. I went out there by myself, and I am like struggling with my kayak. Okay. It's like the inflatable situation. I'm like, I'm huffing, puffing. Like, I've just kayaked up and up, you know, up and then back down, no wind, right? So like kayaking upstream, I'm like, didn't think that through.
If you have not done it is tough. I'm getting it. It is tough.
Like downstream, fine. Upstream, like, oh, I did not think this through. So anyways, my arms are shredded and I am just like fighting this inflatable kayak. I'm trying to roll it up. I'm trying to pack it up myself. And Jared, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's just standing nearby with what I think is with his son. And I'm just like, hey, hey, bro, like, can you help me? Can you just like carry this for me? Like, I'm not afraid to ask for whatever. So I'm like, can y'all help me figure this out and load my kayak for me? I just need some help here. And so like a gentleman, he carries my kayak like up this super steep hill at Lucky Peak and puts it in my Jeep. And we just start small talking. And we find out that we're both first responders. And then he tells me about the coffee, right? The Zero Dark 30 coffee and the mission and how cool it was. And then I think you and I, like hooked up at the Empowered Women Connect. And then I was like, hey, do you know about this person? So I gave you his name, and the rest is history, right?
Yeah. It's so wild.
It's like this chance encounter where he just mentions, hey, this is my thing. And then I'm like, oh, okay. And then, you know, it's like, again, the nudge from the universe, the divine timing, like you just never know how the chess pieces are being moved and who's going to run into who and who's going to tell you about so-and-so and connect you. It's just wild to me.
It is wild. And I think that my favorite thing about that is that you weren't afraid to ask for that help, right? Like you knew your place and you're like, I'm going to raise my hand. I need some help. This is what's going on. And he was also so willing to help you, you know?
Yeah. And I think energy is so important. I think we maybe just kind of knew, like, you're safe, I'm safe. Like, you vibe, right? Like attracts like. It's so strange how that happens sometimes.
Yeah. And especially both being prior first responders, having transitioned out of that, going and doing these, you know, huge endeavors. It was so neat to just hear every single piece of that.
Yeah.
And it's the parts in life that you literally cannot make that up. Like those connections, you can't plan them. You cannot orchestrate them. The universe is going to be out there. It is going to bring that, you know, vulnerability and the pieces together exactly how they need to come. And she has been like, even just on my side, and we can talk about this afterwards, but, you know, for the listeners, like, you have heard the episode where I actually was, I called in on 911 and helped train him when he was on leave for a shoulder injury. So it's like all of the pieces coming back together. But, you know, what I loved about you and how just you and I connected, even at Empower Women Connect, was you were a piece of that, right? Like, you were like, hey, I can't make it to this event, but I have somebody for you.
Right.
I am moving back down to Louisiana. I would love to be there, but you weren't afraid to help collaborate to that next level. And that's what I love about, you know, being the CEO, being the top person, but yet you're still in the trenches with everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree.
Yep. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your messy middle. For the people that are listening, I encourage you to go and follow Lindsay. She is just a powerhouse. She is the CEO of her life. And she is a real, authentic, willing to share person. And that's why I love connecting with you.
Yeah, Mackenzie, I think I'll just be raw. Real and raw. This past year has been one of the hardest years of not only my business, but of my adult life. And it's so strange because I think on the outside looking in, most people would say, oh, like, what's the big deal? You moved. Right. Yeah. Like, you moved, like, get over it. Like, you're lucky to be alive. You're da da da, like all these things. And that's true. But it's so interesting how as humans, we want to bypass, right? We want a spiritual bypass. We don't want to sit in our pain. We don't want to deal with our grief. And then we love to put platitudes over everything. We love to, you know, slap a, oh, well, everything happens for a reason, which I think is bullshit. And, you know, oh, well, you should just be grateful, sit in gratitude, right? And the reality is that we are human beings with very real and raw emotions and thoughts. And when we moved back down to Louisiana, it felt like the death of a dream. You know, we had worked so hard to move to our dream home in Idaho. So much is happening out there. So much I created while I was there. It's like my happy place. Like, and I so much believe in, hey, you don't want to be somewhere, move. You want to change your life, change it. You want to start the business, start the podcast, do it, go. And the reality is that sometimes life just happens. And especially when you're in a partnership with someone, that's what we sign up for. You know, we sign up for going on the journey with them. And this past year has just been one of dealing with a lot of grief, adjusting to a lot, reconciling maybe some parts of me that weren't super healthy before this kind of unraveling cataclysmic thing that like happened out of nowhere. And it happened so fast. Like, literally us moving, selling our house, moving across the country, buying a new home down here, remodeling it, both being in intensive therapy. It's messy, right? And we so much want to jump to the end and be on the other side of it. But what I've learned, Mackenzie, is like, this is where true leadership is built. And this is where you get to figure out what it's like to lead without feeling, I mean, I'll just say it, feeling like you have to be the superhero, or that you have to be so perfect, or you have to be the champion of the ashes. Like, I'm going to get through this and I'm going to get through it the best way I know how. And it's like, no, like, you can be a mess. You can be imperfect. You can be a human and you can still lead. And, you know, I've gone through a lot of doubt with that, like, just feeling like an imposter, You know what I mean? Where it's just like, well, I don't feel super powerful. And I teach women how to feel powerful. You know, like, I don't feel like a badass CEO right now. How can I even run this business or sell hats or coach people or, you know, and it's just like perfection was never required. And really for me, it's not, I know perfection isn't required, but it's that superhero-ness, that superhero mm-hmm. aspect. You know, I think as first responders, we really have that complex sometimes.
Oh yeah.
You know, and we need to learn how to let that go. Like, you're a human being. And so for me, I've learned, and it's like, you know this, right? Like, we know all of these things in our head, but it's different when we're really in it real time, is that when I have just taught and led and coached from my heart in that, it's when my clients actually get the biggest breakthroughs.
Yeah.
Because they want to learn from someone who's in the trenches getting their teeth kicked into.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the pendulum has kind of swung, especially on social media. You know, I think so many of us are, especially if you're building what I would say like a luxury brand or a high ticket coaching or, you know, anything high ticket, which I certainly do. There's almost like this, your lifestyle has to be a certain way, or you have to be a certain way in order to sell it. And that's a lie too. And, you know, so I've had to really reconcile a lot of that with myself and like, hey, no, you can be relatable. Like, you can be a human, you can be vulnerable with your clients. You can tell them what's up. Like, you don't always have to be the one with all the answers. You don't always have to be the superhero. So that's a little bit about kind of what I've been going through.
Yeah. And I love that you had talked about, you know, the expectations of our background being first responders, because we are mm-hmm. the ones that are so willing. And I know I'm guilty of doing this in my life, is when things are awry or really messy for myself, I want to deflect and I want to help the other people. Like, oh, well, I just want to give all of myself to other people and help them, when mm-hmm. really I need to pull the reins in and like, who's helping me? Mm-hmm. Like, I need to be helping me. The way that I can give myself and my energy and my attention to other people and building them up, I need to do that for myself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it is, you know, I think it's difficult as humans anyways to do that. We feel so guilty in these expectations and, you know, blah, 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 these labels. And we're trying to keep up with ourselves. And we're also trying to push ourselves continuously.
Yeah.
Like, to the next level, go on to this next achievement, you know. And even if you don't necessarily feel like you are, you still are almost in a comparative analysis of mm-hmm. how did they get there? How do I get there?
Yeah.
And what I loved that you talked about on your live yesterday was just talking about the time frames. Mm-hmm. Like, you've been going through this for a while. This mm-hmm. season is not just a couple weeks. The season is not just a couple months, right? Like, this season has been a year plus. Mm-hmm. But what you are doing is not sitting there and sulking mm-hmm. and saying like, I don't have the energy to do, you know, the top tier CEO right now, but I have these pillars around me and I can continue to forge through all of this shit and still learn from it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think this is a word for so many listeners, is that there's no timeline on healing. You know, you can't rush it, and it's not linear.
Oh, hell no. It's
you know, it is not linear. And, you know, God bless us. You know, we just try to make everything that way, you know, and especially, you know, definitely me. I'm like, oh, you need a plan? I got a plan. Like, let's but, you know, cross the T. Like, hey, if you do this, and you read this book, and so you go to this therapy, and you da-da-da. And like, hey, okay, snap out of it. All right, let's go. And so there's been a lot of that, hey, snap out of it. Like, that pressure, that rush. And, you know, I've just, my lesson through this is like, it's going to take as long as it takes. It takes as long as it takes. And when I need to cry, I cry. And when I'm angry, I'm angry. And I'm going to therapy every week. And like, I'm doing the work, but I can't put pressure on myself to rush things. And I think as a culture, we're constantly doing that. We constantly have the pressure to, you know, rush through it and hit the next milestone and rush through it and, you know, be all of these things. And, you know, for whatever reason, this is where we are. And I'm reading this book right now. It's called This Is How You Heal, which is just phenomenal. It's by this gal named Brianna West. She wrote the book, The Mountain Is You. I love her account. She writes from a place of like, it's short but potent. I don't know if anybody else relates to this. Sometimes when you read like healing books or like self-help books or growth books, you're just like, what the hell are they even saying? Like, it just sounds like, it sounds like word salad. You're like, what? Like, do you speak like a normal person? Like, I need a translator. I don't know. Like, just get to the point. But she's so good. She keeps it short and potent. And what she says was like, you know, the reality was, is that why you're going through this is because there were parts of you before that were not sustainable. There were parts of you before that for your destiny, for the thing that you're meant to be, could not, that needed to be pruned, that weren't going to be there. And so you go through this death of self, you go through this kind of death of identity when anything major in your life happens, you know, whatever that is for you. There could be listeners that experience a loss of a loved one, a job, a home, a friendship, you know, whatever it is, a major life change. You're going to go through this process, and there's going to be a part of you that doesn't get to come along the way, that doesn't get to come with.
Yeah.
And I think another key point of kind of what I've learned through this past year is like we keep trying to resurrect that and operate from like this old wineskin or operate from this old shell of who we were. And it doesn't work anymore because you're different.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you get to choose like what different you're going to be. And I think the choice for me has been like, are you going to stay in bitterness? Now, are you going to stay in blame and, or whatever? Are you going to really get to the hurt, the sadness, the other things that are behind the front of anger and all those different things? So,
yeah. How has it been coming back home? You know, the first responder, all of those areas, kind of that old life almost. And then you left, you came to Idaho. I mean, from just seeing you from getting here, you are thriving, like success in your office. And like, you almost kind of got to distance yourself of those old memories of being a police officer. Like, you did get to kind of rebirth yourself here in this location. Mm-hmm. And now you're getting pulled back to your past.
Yeah. Like, yeah, Mackenzie. Fucking yeah. That's why I'm in therapy every week. Oh, yeah. Man.
You don't get all those raw thoughts for nothing, Lindsay. You
can't escape it. Oh, man. You know, what's the thing? What you refuse to. Or what you resist persists. That's true. And yeah, you know, I tell my therapist all the time, it's like I've had this habit of just being done. Whoop, like done, that's dead, I'm moving on. And that's just not the case. So for me, this has been the process, and this is going to be really helpful for a lot of your listeners. When we do that, sometimes when we don't want to face the past, we don't want to face the memories, it's often because we're beating ourselves up about who we were in the memories. Like, we don't like a part of ourselves. I could have done this better. Shoulda, coulda, shoulda, woulda, cringe. Like, oh my God, I was so stupid. Like, oh my God, I was like, oh, if I would have known what I know now. Like, we live in so much regret, at least for me, you know, this Virgo, you know, perfectionist girl definitely does that. I'm my worst critic. And what I realized is that I had to look back at those memories, and instead of doing that, instead of beating myself up, reliving it, yada, yada, is to have grace and compassion for that version of Lindsay. it's so hard. It's so hard. You have to look back and go and breathe, number one. Number two, say, I love you. I forgive you. Thank you. I love you. I forgive you. Thank you. I love you. I forgive you. It's like over and over and over again. Like every time you're met with those memories, every time you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, every time you run into somebody from high school, every time you run it, like there's a memory. And why you feel bad about it is because it's a memory of a version of yourself that you just, you're not that person. You didn't like that person.
Right.
So you have to love yourself.
Yeah.
You have to practice self-compassion. You have to practice compassion for yourself.
It's a lot of compassion. You know, I know I'm, you know, very similar to you, just going through a lot of personal reckoning, you know, and same thing. It's things from my past that are coming. I mean, young childhood coming up.
For sure.
And I remember my therapist literally last night, you know, telling me like, what would you tell that 5-year-old? Like, you wouldn't talk to the way your memories are to a 5-year-old. You would have so much love and compassion and guidance. Like, you would be like, come with me. Like, let me help you. Let me bring you with me and show you what you can learn.
Yeah.
Instead of looking at those memories and the younger you and saying, how did you not know this? And, you know, you were so stupid and dumb and you could have done this better. It's like, do you tell that to your friends?
Mm-mm.
No. So why the hell are we saying that to our younger selves?
Yeah. We're so awful to ourselves. You know, and it's like what I've had to stand in is like you, two things, like you did the best you could with what you knew at the time and who you were at the time. Like that's you were only doing what you knew to do. And even if you didn't do the best that you could, that's fucking okay too. Like forgive yourself, like love yourself, be with yourself.
Yeah. Besides, I know you're going through intense therapy. How else are you, through this process, truly showing yourself that self-love, that compassion, that forgiveness?
Oh, boy. It's a day-by-day thing. That process that I just told you of thank you, I love you, breathing in it. And then this is going to sound annoying, but it's just basics. Like, back to the basics, foundations of just taking care of yourself. And like waking up and going, what do I need today? Like, what do I really need? Not what I want, but what do I need? For me, it's like movement, going to work out, and not in a punishing workout, like just move your body. You know, I like to lift weights, but not like I used to do CrossFit, so intense, shocker, but I can't do that anymore. It's like, just put on your headphones, let's pump some weights, and then let's go sit in the sauna for 45 minutes. Like, so those basics of caring for your body is important. You know, drink your water, do your best, you know, do the best, you know, with your nutrition, walking. Gosh, I think my walks on the levee, for those of you that don't know what a levee is, that's down in the South. We have levees because we're under the sea level. So we have levees to protect us from floods. I live on the bayou. And so I have a levee right in front of my house, and it's a different kind of beauty. And I walk on the levee a lot. I, you know, just basics, taking care of your body, sleep. You know, when you're going through this kind of rediscovery and healing, you're going to find that you're way more tired than normal. You're emotionally exhausted. And that shows up in your body. And so you got to care for this body. She is you. She is you. It's not it's a she or a he, if you're a male listener. Caring for your body, you know, and that's another piece where we love to punish and we love to beat up and we love to fix and we love to do all of these things. But for me, that's kind of been my deal is work, movement, sleep, water. And then, you know, just sitting out in the sunshine, you know, I have to have vitamin D. So, and I know that many of you may live in places like, I know Idaho, y'all been struggling for a while.
we have been struggling.
It's like, where's the summer? Where's the sunshine?
Last night we had a freaking huge storm, lightning, you know, but I promise you every single time, if it's sitting in the car, getting some extra, you know, sun, driving someplace like Idaho, you places in the Pacific Northwest, we are, I know, struggling right now.
Yeah. And like doing infrared light therapy, like do whatever you need. Like you can even order some of those infrared lights, you know, on Amazon and stuff, but you know, your body is going to need tending to. So practically, you know, that's been helpful for me. I've always been a huge journaler. And man, I can tell when I haven't journaled. And it's so funny because people are either in like one or two camps. They're like, they cannot journal. Like they just cannot do it because they think somebody's going to read it one day. Are you in that camp, Mackenzie, or are you a journaler?
No, I love to journal.
Okay.
And so. I actually love reading like journals.
Same.
And I'm like, whoa.
You're like, bitch, I'm so glad you went there. Be you crazy.
Woo, forgot about like, that one.
Well, same. But it's so funny. Like some people just like won't do it. They think somebody's going to read it. And I'm just always like, look, if they find it and read it, look, I'm a real person. That was my that's who I was. That was my truth. Yeah. That was my process. But like, I think it's so important just to get it out of your head. Like for me, it's just a brain dump. You know, I'm not like sitting there going, Captain's log. Today at 10 a.m. I ate a sandwich. You know, it's like, no, it's just like brain dump. Like I'm feeling this. I'm sick of this. I want this. Da da da. Struggling with this. Like it's just dumping it out. You have to get it out because going back to the talk about your body, you know, our emotions live in our body. The body keeps score. Like we all know that as first responders, we know what adrenaline feels like. We know what an adrenaline crash feels like on the other side. And that same thing happens with some of these other emotions. If we don't get it out, if we don't process it, it's going to manifest in our body somehow. So you got to care for your physical body, your vessel lovingly. So
yes, yes. I learned actually from a trauma therapist who was on my podcast to journal in third person.
Mm.
And that has been something for myself to really show that love and that compassion and to speak differently to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like Mackenzie, I am proud of what you did today and how you handled that situation differently than what your past you would have.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah.
And you know, for a long time, when I heard that, I was like, are you crazy? I just know how to like scribble. I'm one of those brain dumpers. Like if you reread my journal, you're like, what in the hell are you even talking about? Mm-hmm. Made sense in the moment because you're just like, I feel like I'm trying to write and I'm like, my hand's cramping, but I gotta get this out, you know? And the third person makes you look at yourself in a different lens.
Ooh, that's good. That's really
good. And a supportive lens and a compassion to kind of that higher perspective. Instead of wanting to say like, you need to do this better or you could have done this better, right? Those coulda, shoulda, wouldas. It's supporting yourself.
Yeah. It's almost like reparenting yourself too.
For sure. It is that support system that, you know, you yourself need. And I know this is something that I am going through right now is that support and that love and that like parenting, and almost having to parent myself.
Yeah.
And I look and I say, well, everybody else does too. Like we are the ones that know what we need the most.
Yeah.
And we have to use our voice to say, hey, I don't like this, or I don't have the energy for this. I know that is something that is getting spoken so much from me right now is saying, hey, I'm not mad at you. I just don't have the energy to deal with this. I will get to it. I'm using every ounce for myself right now.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, what you're talking about is boundaries. And that's another thing. You know, I think when we first moved back, because I'm such a superhero, I have to be a superhero and like doing what you're saying, like, okay, well, I'm back. So, all right, you know, I've got 5 grandkids and 2 stepkids. Okay. And elderly parent, and we're just going to bump, bump, bump. Yep. I can take you to ballpark. I can take you to therapy. It's like to where I felt like I needed to prove something, or I needed to be, okay, I'm here. I'm going to be the best here. And it's like, do you really want to? You know, it's like if you're asked to babysit your one of your grandkids, do you really want to babysit? You know, it's like, let's be honest, we don't always want to. Okay. Like, what do you actually need today? Do you have plans today? You know, are you going to rearrange your entire schedule? And maybe your schedule, and here's the thing, maybe your schedule was journaling and just reading a book and sleeping. That's another sneaky thing that we do as women, I think, where we try to dismiss the importance of some of that. Like, well, I don't really have plans. Well, it's like, no, you did. That's just as important as going to an appointment somewhere or doing a podcast interview or whatever. And so I think practicing lovingly saying no, to prioritize yourself and really tuning into, am I doing this because I want to, or am I doing this because I think I have to, is so key.
Yeah. And I think when we are going through these reckonings ourselves, it's learning the compassion that other people can be too. So if they don't have the energy, or if they turn your request down, inviting you to, you know, family functions or going to the ballpark, or like you said, the podcast interview, not taking it personal.
Yeah.
And saying like, you know what? They also may not have the energy, and that is okay.
Yeah. Mackenzie, that's so good, you know, because one of the lessons of the messy middle, and one of the big lessons of just like life, when you go through a sudden thing, is you learn how to sit with people and their stuff more without judgment, like without trying to plan and do everything for them. Like I feel like I'm so much more of a softer person now. I feel like I'm so much more of a, you know, like the friend that doesn't have to give you a 5-step plan of what you need to do like to fix your life. Like I can just listen a little bit better and really just like sit in this knowing of, you know, none of us are immune to pain. Like none of us can escape the human experience. And sometimes I think we just buy into like some of these toxic, now I love manifestation, but anything taken to the extreme can be toxic. Like some of these toxic manifestation, law of attraction ideologies, or even other religious ideologies. That's like, if you do this, then you're somehow in, you're blessed, or you're high vibe, or you're walking in favor. And, or you'll never suffer or whatever. And that's just not the case. Like life is going to come for you. Mm-hmm. You can't escape it. It doesn't matter how perfect you are. Doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter like all the rules you try to follow. Life is coming. Mm-hmm. And it, on the other side, I think it definitely helps you be more compassionate with other people. Like I'm way less judgmental now. I'm way less, it's actually helped me to sit with my clients more. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, Mackenzie, you know, but like for me as a coach, you know, sometimes when clients are staying stuck in a loop or there's something deeper there, I'm like, hey, just follow the plan. Like, come on. But now it's made me kind of slow down a little bit more. It's made me slow down with people. It's made me slow down with what's really behind the question. So yeah, it's so good. You can't be compassionate with other people if you can't be compassionate with yourself.
Absolutely. And you know, what you had said there too is life is gonna happen.
Yeah.
How are you going to combat what you're thrown? Mm. You know, and I think that I read a phrase just recently, was talking about combating negativity and, you know, really putting that back into your mind, body, and spirit. And those can be, you know, you talked about that, right? Like moving your body, that is your body. That's your vessel. Like you have got to keep it moving. Our trauma does, our emotions get stuck. And you're like, gosh, why do I feel a little bit different in my gut? Like, why does this happening? Probably because you're holding on to stuff and that's where you hold on to it.
Oh, totally. Real quick. I've had this crazy, it just cleared up too. Right when I got here, I started having this crazy shoulder situation that I've never had in my life, in my left shoulder, to where it was like stuck in certain positions and I couldn't I could barely raise it. I couldn't, you know, reach for things behind me, you know, in my vehicle. And it's like, well, duh, you know, because you've been carrying, it's tired. carrying all the shit, you know? And it's like, and I think somebody told me like the left side is your feminine energy or your feminine. I don't know if that's true or not. It's just what I heard on the internet. But I'm like, that makes sense. You know, the feminine baby is tired. Yep. You know, she's holding on to all that stuff. You got to let it go.
It's like your big old CEO bag that you just keep shoving shit into. Totally.
Oh, that's a
come
word.
Come on now.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a word. That's a good analogy. That's exactly what it was. For sure.
You know, that like your body, your spirit, and just like your soul, like taking care of truly like who you are, your mind, right? Like you, those thoughts, those patterns, those loops, you know, like that healing process is going to take time. And like you've said, the time frame is different. And I love that you talked about, you know, that grace. Something that I recently learned was the 3 G's.
Okay.
What are you giving grace to? What do you have gratitude? And what are you gritting? Like, we know we are trying to like keep going forward, right? Whether it be therapy or through the muck and the messiness, like that is grit for you. Mm-hmm. But you also have to have grace for yourself through those periods.
That's really good.
And you know, it is those little things that you're like, oh, I am doing the work. I didn't realize I really am doing the work. Doesn't feel like it sometimes. It does not feel like it. But it is back to those basics of, you know, not over complicating it.
Yeah. The basics of being a human. Yeah. Simplifying. Yep.
Simplify your life. And I think, you know, in these seasons that we have, it just reminds you how much bullshit is around us. Like, like, do I really fucking need that in my life? No. Like, in these like survival moments, it's like, I don't even need that. Get it out of my life. I'm spending time, energy, and devotion that I don't need to that thing.
Yeah.
And it's okay to leave it behind.
Yeah, totally. Do you have a specific example of that, Mackenzie, you feel comfortable with sharing? Like, that has popped up for you of like, I don't need that. Oh, I don't need that. Oh, I'm not doing that.
You know, I think it's just expectations that I have on myself.
Okay.
I know that I'm working through this right now of being back on the ambulance and working.
Okay.
And I personally am in this transition of doing more speaking. Like, I traveled to Texas this month. I talk in front of our first responders on mental health and taking that next leap outside of being the first responder, and, you know, talking with nurses about burnout and talking with leaders across literally the globe. Like, there's going to be people from Ukraine, Russia, Canada, America, all on the same call that like, I'm talking like, wait, what? That's like so cool. This, you know? And so I think it's those stories that we make up on our minds that are more important, that it's just like, cut the bullshit, leave those behind. Mm-hmm. And it's also little things like your wardrobe. And
yeah,
like I've been pretty much the same size for quite a long time. And I'm like, you've had this for 5 fucking years. Like, that is the old you that would wear that. Like, I love taking care of things, but there's also a part of like you talked about yesterday, that rebirth, like, you know what, buy some new fucking clothes, like transition. It's going to be okay, you know, but also find what you really love, you know, find what you really is like who you are, those pillars in your life. And I had actually said this to my therapist last night, like, right now, when our lives are in those seasons of messy and reckoning, like all I can envision is like out in the sea, right? Like a pier just crumbling. And you have to go, like if you are out there when that pier has crumbled, go find the pillars, like go attach to those big posts, the big foundations, and remember what those are. Connection, nature, human beings, you know, like the therapy for me. And it is hard remembering who the fuck you are when these reckonings happen.
Absolutely. You know, and it's like the best analogy I could give it is like the Russian nesting doll deal.
Yes, I love that one. Share that.
You know, where it's like, if you aren't familiar with the word a Russian nesting doll, it's like a woman inside a woman inside a woman inside a woman. For my story, I've always just like killed the old woman. like we're done with that. I'm this person now. And it's like, no, let's have compassion for her. Let's leave the parts that weren't working. They taught us. Let's bring, you know, who you really are at your essence is always going to stick with you. And the identity crisis is so real because it's like, who am I now apart from this? I think so many first responders struggle with it, with this. I definitely did. My sister, who's in the military or was a career Marine, went through a whole process when she transitioned out of the Marines, where it's like, oh my God, it's like, who am I now? Who who am I apart from being on the Marine base? Who am I, you know, out of the military and now in civilian life? It's a grief process. It's a total identity change in who you are. And, you know, for me, I'm asking like, okay, well, I can't run my business the same way I did in Idaho because everything's changed, but who I am can still be the same. You know, I can bring the parts of me that who Lindsay is at her core and leave the parts that weren't sustainable. So, I mean, it's like, there's always this pruning and then there's this evolution. So like with that nesting doll, it's like, one inside of the other. There's all of these layers to who we are as women. There's always these layers to who we are as leaders. So,
yeah, I actually, a great example came up, you know, last weekend doing an open house, you know, picking up my open house signs and new construction. So there's always nails, there's always screws. And sure enough, I ran over a screw, you know, got to change. I have my golf clubs. I have, you know, my open house signs. I got my cooler. I got like everything in my car, right? If you're in Idaho, like you're always prepared for everything. You don't know when your weather is going to change. So you just have everything in your car. So I know that this very like strong-willed, independent girl I like recognize with. And I stopped myself and I said, you're right, Mackenzie. You could be on the side of the street, like there's a curb, there's some grass, you could put all of your shit on the grass and you could do this yourself. I know you can. I physically know that you know how to change a tire. Or you could call your brother-in-law who's 5 minutes away. They're going to be, you know, probably have a jack. It's going to be at a safer location. You don't have to do this alone. So I called him up and he was busy. And I said, okay, that's fine. Next person, right? I called my niece. Her boyfriend loves cars. He was thrilled. I drove over there. He had the jack. I had things out of my car while he's doing my tire. Boom, 5 minutes done. And I was like, you know, that is what asking for help is.
Absolutely.
Tiny little things, right? Could I have done that by myself? 100%. Did I need to prove that to myself and the world around me? No.
No, but it's like, bitch, but do you want to? I don't want to change the tire.
Those are the things like I don't mind, you know, but it's like that independent, like,
yes,
it's that independent female, like, no, you got it. You can do this. Like you are empowered. And it's like, Yeah, you're right. I am.
Good.
But I'm also empowered in other ways in my life.
Yeah. And also being in your power, it's both and. Being your power is also knowing, hey, I'm going to protect this part of myself. So I'm going to ask for help, because me trying to prove myself is not actually being in my power. Like, being secure in who I am means knowing that I have nothing to prove. And so, and asking for help is one of the biggest things to do in a messy middle season, 100%, and being okay receiving it. This has been the theme here lately, especially with my business coaching with sales and money. One of the biggest issues that I think women have when it comes to sales and revenue and being the CEO is, like, we just don't feel like it's safe to receive more. Mm-hmm. We don't feel like it's safe to receive more money, to receive more help, to receive more support, because for whatever reason, trauma, life, or it's just who we are, we're these strong, independent women, and that's fantastic. But strength is also receiving.
Yeah.
Strength is also receiving. And I feel like somebody needs to hear that. You know, one of my friends here, she just got diagnosed with breast cancer, and it's been kind of a, you know, it's kind of blown all of us here. We're just like, oh my God. And she's such a strong, independent person. And she's really struggling with asking for help, really struggling with receiving it. She doesn't want to be pitied. She doesn't want to be viewed as the cancer girl. Those are her words, not mine. But same way, it's like, we don't want to appear vulnerable, weak, or small ever. Like, those are our two biggest fears as humans. But it's actually, like, in allowing that where so much of our power is found. And it's when I say the, you can, but do you want to? It's so funny, Mackenzie. I was watching a TikTok. I'm obsessed with TikTok lately. I think it's so funny. Like, I just, funny TikToks, like, are my life right now. But Steve Harvey, like, went on this tirade about, like, women and marriage. And, you know, he was just saying how women are the best. Women are the superior species. Like, women deserve to be taken care of. And he was like, just saying how, and I don't agree with everything that he said, but basically he was saying how so many women get it twisted. Like, I'm this independent woman. I don't need no man. You know, I can do this and I can do that. And he said, well, you can, but baby, do you want to? It's like, I can jackhammer my driveway, but do I want to? I just was like, that is so perfect. It's like, no, I don't want to. I don't want to. Power is delegation. If you struggle with asking for help, just call it delegation and you can feel better about it. That's what I do sometimes.
You're like, we're just rewording things. Yeah,
relabel it.
It'll help us. Lindsay, tell us a little bit about how you are going through this mess, but yet you're still showing up for your people.
Yeah. Showing up authentic, you know, and that's a loaded word. What is true authenticity? I don't know. For me, it's just been like, hey, I'm just going to be more real. Like, I'm not trying to create this mystery luxury brand. I'm going to go back to just talking with people, you know, on social media, being who I am, not hiding this process. No, I'm not, like, word vomiting everything that's going on all the time. I'm not bringing people into my therapy sessions. Yeah. But I think it's just like being real and also protecting my energy at the same time. Like, I am showing up for my people, but my time and my energy is a little bit more protected. That means that I do less. That means sometimes I may show up less, but when I do show up, it's potent and it's powerful and I have something to say. So, you know, giving myself right now, like, even just giving myself permission to take a break from Instagram stories on Saturday and Sunday, you know, I'm not doing as much quantity, but I think there's definitely a shift in a quality there. I don't know. So, yeah, that goes back to the grace. So keep showing up. It may be less quantity, but it can still be quality, being real and serving my people. You know, at the end of the day, it's like my number one job when I wake up, it's like my clients. Like, have I checked in with my clients? Am I serving them? Am I delivering what I need to deliver instead of setting these huge, crazy goals right now? You know, instead of pushing, you know, just accepting, like, this is probably going to be a rebuilding year. And there's going to be an ROI on that, probably a much bigger ROI than I could ever imagine because of the work that I'm doing right now. So that's how I'm doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I absolutely love how you have been raw with us, right? Real, authentic, and willing to share. And I love that you touched on that share part, and the willing to share does not mean that you have to bring them into your therapy session.
Yeah.
But it does, that willing to share part is like taking the curiosity out of it. And you had actually mentioned in that live, and anybody listening, like, I want you to go back to Lindsay's Instagram page and watch her live about the messy middle, because I was like, I was like, oh my gosh, girl, preach it. This is right now. You're like me and you need, and you're in the messy middle, like, go and listen to that. But you know, what you had talked about was like, you don't need to word vomit, but just the sharing part of saying like, hey, I am going through something, and you don't need to know exactly all of those details. But if I didn't see something, everybody else would be thinking like, something's a little different.
Yeah.
Like, something's a little bit off. Mm-hmm. And you're already willing to say like, yes, something is a little bit off. I'm working on it. We're going through it. This is the real me. This is the authentic me. That's the willing to share part. It's not the willing to share part of every detail of what is in your mind, mm-hmm. but it's saying, hey, you know what? I'll be the first one to call out my bullshit and say, I got something going on. I'm still here. I'm still willing to help, but it's going to look different.
Yeah, it's going to look different. I think that that's important. I think we just need more transparency, especially on social media, you know, with our audience. If you're building an audience, if you're leading a team, it's just transparency. I'm not a superhuman. I am a person. Mm-hmm. I'm learning. I'm a person in process learning. And that mm-hmm. place is how I lead. And, you know, I'll share this because I really struggled with that. I mean, just being honest, like, I just really struggled. Is anyone going to want to follow me? Is anyone going to, you know, I almost felt like a failure in a lot of ways because I had to move back home and sell my dream home, which is ridiculous. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, real, like, are people real? I'm not, it's like, Lindsay, are people really hiring you because of your lifestyle? Or are people hiring you because of your expertise?
Yeah.
They hire you because of your expertise. And that's the ground that you have to stand in. And so I just was like, and also like the imposter syndrome of not feeling, you know, how I felt in Idaho, just like raw passion, go get it, live your dream life. And one of my friends was like, Lindsay, that's exhausting. They're like, I don't relate to that. It's exhausting. No one can mm-hmm. sustain that pace and it doesn't feel real. So that was great feedback. But then one of my mentors told me this. And so like, if you're going through something right now and you want to share it with your people, but you're struggling, this was key for me. She was like telling me to just open up more. And I was like, oh, I hate that. I'm an Enneagram 8. That makes me want to throw up. I was like, so be vulnerable, right? And she was like, no, you're already being vulnerable. You show up on the internet every day. What I'm asking you to be is intimate. And that blew my effing mind. I was like, what's the difference? There's a huge difference. Vulnerability is putting yourself out there with the risk of being attacked, with the risk of being hurt. To truly be intimate with someone, I love like the breakdown is like into me see. Is letting yourself be known, truly known. And so when we can be intimate as a leader, and I think that's different than oversharing and word vomiting and doing things just for polarity's sake, you know, the fake vulnerability that was like so prevalent, like 5 years ago. It's like, I still kind of cringe. Let me just be honest. Let me be raw, Mackenzie. I still kind of cringe when people are like, vulnerable post alert. That trend. Okay, I'm cringing. Just so everybody knows. If you did that, I'm kind of judging. I'm cringing. But seriously, it's like, I've got to stop that. But anyways, it's just like, no, it's intimate. Like, be known. Like, talk to people. If you want to be treated as a human, you got to talk to people like they're humans. So
yeah,
that was a huge shift for me.
And I love, you know, I will say one last thing too, is like, that intimacy part, you know, is is taking away all of the labels. You know, I think there's so many people that look at me specifically and say, well, how did you get these people on your podcast? And how did you do it? And how did you blah, 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 blah. They're so big or whatever it is. It's like, no, I have a connection with them. And that's how I'm able to get them on. And that's how I'm able to talk like this. Like, we are great friends because we are both being ourselves and allowing that space and allowing that, you know, area for you to be you and for me to be me. And we connect and we translate. And I think that right there is an example of like intimacy. Mm-hmm. Intimacy does not have to be this touchy feely, like, you know, husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever the fuck you are. Like, intimacy is within humans.
Yeah. It's being known. Being seen, heard, and known, truly known for who you are. That's what intimacy is. And that's what any human being who's not a psychopath or a sociopath wants at the end of the day. They want to be just seen, heard, and known. Yeah. And as leaders, like, we have to give that to ourselves and to the people that we're leading, you know, in whatever capacity you can.
Yeah. And leaders, there's so many different walks of life of leaders. Like, you do not have to have a management or a supervisor or a corporal or any of these titles or labels of a leader.
Totally.
You are leading by example to so many people around you. And there's more people that follow you and do want to have you continue to be the leader, and you don't even know it.
Absolutely. I love what John Maxwell says. He says, leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. It's not clout. Yeah. It's not ego. It's not status. It's not a label. It's not a position. Leadership is influence. And as a human, whether you realize it or not, you have influence with people. Now, you get to choose what type of influence you have. You know, you get to choose that, but that's what makes you a leader. And it starts with just you. Like, can you steward your own influence everywhere you go?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Lindsay, I have absolutely loved our time together. Yeah. How do people, I mean, if they connect with you, how do they reach out to you? How do they become one of your clients as well?
Yeah. So come follow me on Instagram. It's Lindsay Nadler, Lindsay with an E, Nadler. It's so interesting. Sometimes people combine my name and call me Natalie. I don't know. It's a strange phenomenon that happens, but my name is Lindsay. So Lindsay Nadler on Instagram, come DM me, say hello, check out the podcast, Make Your Passion Pay You. And then, if you are looking for coaching, we actually have a membership that's a great starting place for so many people. It's called Unfiltered, and it is straight up no BS business advice. And we just love it in there because I feel like what you're doing, Mackenzie, is so important. I think people are craving raw, real, authentic. They're sick of the bullshit. They're sick of the highlight reel. They're sick of the word salad. They're sick of the smoke and mirrors of social media. Sometimes they're just like, somebody just tell me what's up. And so that's very much the vibe over there. So we can connect there as well.
Yes. I'll have all of her information in the show notes, how to get connected with her, and go check yourself out, the new hats, because they are on fire.
Yes. I can't wait to get one as well, for sure.
Yes. 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 Lindsay, I appreciate our time. And we will talk soon. All right.
Hey, so welcome.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Thanks.
Thank you again for listening to another episode of Raw Thoughts Podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could follow, like, subscribe, and share with anybody that you think would be interested in this. You could also head over to my website at rawthoughtspodcast.com and see any other guests that have been on the episodes. You could also go over to Instagram and follow at rawthoughts.podcast. I would really appreciate it, and always send me a message if you're interested in being a guest or any feedback.